All right, well, it's good to see everybody back in here this morning. It's good to always good to get in Sunday school and get sat down for a few minutes and start the day off and get the day going, get our minds thinking about the Lord. So it's glad you're here this morning, and we'll get right into the Word of God this morning. Before we do that, I kind of wanted to share something with you. I'm going to get a chuckle out of this, and I wanted to share it with you here. It's about some hymns. Song, hymn book, hymns, and these are for those of you who like to who tend to get a little heavy footed and speed on the highway. So these are hymns for you that you might want to take note of. All right. So here they go. It's like this. Now, if at 45 miles per hour, your song is God will take care of you. Amen. All right. Now at 55 miles per hour, your hymn would be Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. With me so far? All right, 65 miles per hour, your hymn is Nearer My God to Thee. Amen. That's right. At 75 miles per hour, your hymn is Nearer, Still Nearer. At 85 miles per hour, your song is This World Is Not My Home. At 95 miles per hour, your hymn is Lord, I'm Coming Home. And if you happen to get above 100 miles per hour, then your hymn is Precious Memories. Amen. So those are some hymns you might want to think of. And as you start getting that foot a little heavy, that might help you out a little bit to slow it back a little bit. Amen. Be thinking about those hymns that God put out there just for those sorts of things. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go this morning into the book of Genesis. And I'm going to go to chapter number 37. And I mentioned it as we started off a couple of weeks ago that felt the Lord was leading us to, we'd done a couple of books, of studies of books. We did Esther and we did Nehemiah, and that was a blessing. We did some study way back before that of just Christians and how God will take us through hard times and through troubles, and we learned about that a lot early on. But now I feel like we're going to start in, for the next several weeks, I'm sure it will take a while, we're going to do a character study, and we're going to look at the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. And so we're going to start off in Genesis chapter number 37, and there will be a lot that we'll look at. We'll look at a lot of scriptures. We won't spend a lot of time like verse by verse and things like that, like we do when we study a book. But we will take a look at thoughts, and we will take a look at how Joseph's life, what is it? God puts everything in the Bible for a purpose. Amen? Everything. So when God wrote this, it's definitely a history book. It definitely begins to show. Moses has just finished writing about the lineage of Esau, if you look back in the chapters before, the Edomites. And it's kind of a dry, barren, dull genealogy. But now God is going to open up and show us the genealogy of Jacob, whose name later became what? Israel. And beginning to show us the genealogy, but we're going to focus on one person, a young man named Joseph. And Joseph's story is remarkably divided between his humiliation and later his exaltation, right? And because of that, because it's divided this way, you cannot help but see that it is, we see Christ in it all through this. We will see a type of Jesus Christ who first was what? Humbled and later exalted, right? Same thing. And we'll see many, many instances to where Christ is the answer to Joseph as a type. So Joseph is a type of Christ, and we'll see as we go through this how Jesus Christ is the answer in so many ways to that type. There's actually 60 recorded comparisons of Joseph and Christ. So we'll take a look at some of these as we go through. But not only is it that, so that's good, and that'll be a blessing to us. But not only is it showing Joseph as a type of Christ, but it also is going to show us at the same time as we go through, we're going to see how Joseph's life is a picture of the Christian life. Okay? We'll see, because we as Christians, we don't enter into heaven, before we ever get to heaven, which is a great place, we go through a lot of troubles, don't we? That's just part of it. And we'll see that in Joseph's life. Before he ever got into the palace, before he ever got exalted, he had to go through troubles to get there. But so we'll see this. So we'll be looking at both things at the same time. We won't do it as two studies. We'll look at it one time. Joseph as a type of Christ, and Joseph's life as a picture of the Christian life as we go through. So that'll be a blessing to us. Now, let's start off with Joseph. He was born of Rachel. Rachel was Jacob's beloved wife. You know the story there, how he worked 21 years for Jacob and went through much great trial, much great tribulation, many things that Jacob went through to before he finally received Rachel as his wife. Or I guess it was 21 or 14. I think it was 21. And she had been barren for a long time before Joseph was born. Let's go over to the book of Genesis, chapter number 30. Let's flip over there first. Genesis chapter number 30 and verse number 22. Oh, wait a second. We'll do this first, then I'll come back to something. It's made me think about something. Genesis chapter number 30, verse 22. And God remembered Rachel. That ought to be an encouragement to us. Amen. God remembered Rachel. God remembers us. Amen. We think sometimes, man, God, do you remember me? God remembers us. Amen. God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And she said, the Lord shall add to me another son. She had much grief. The devil gave her a lot of grief over the fact that she was barren. It was a heartbreaker to her. It was an embarrassment to her. Amen. That day, that was a big thing as a woman would bear a son. And carry on a man's name. That was a huge expectation of a woman in those days. And she was barren. And it was a humiliation to her. But God remembered her. Amen. God heard her prayer. God gave her a little boy. And it was in Jacob's older age. Jacob was older now. And he brought in from his beloved wife, Rachel. She birthed Joseph. And Joseph, we'll see, had a special place. In Jacob's heart, almost to a fault, as we'll look and see. But we'll see that as we go through. But that's kind of shows us where Joseph was born. Now, before we do that, I forgot. I wanted to go back real quick. And let's go back and talk about our Bible verse for today. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 2. So we're going to start memorizing scripture as we go through here on Sunday mornings. And so we've been working in the book of 1 John. We did verse number 1 last week. And so I challenged everyone in the class to learn 1 John 1, verse 2 this week. So I always want to give folks an opportunity, if they've worked hard and diligently, to hide the word of God in their heart, to anyone wants to quote it. I give you the chance right now to do that. Anybody at all would like to quote 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 2? Sister Sherry? Pretty close. Pretty good. That's the thought. That's a good thought. And that's the way it goes. Anybody else this morning want to take a stab at quoting it? All right. So it says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, what's that mean to you? Let's talk about it just for a couple minutes. What's that mean to you? What does that verse mean to anyone at all? Y'all gonna make me do it all? Come on now. I'm the teacher. Just a teacher. So come on, that one's pretty obvious, right? It was, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness. Now, that one's pretty easy right there. What's that talk about? When it says the life was manifested. And we have seen it bear witness, Brother Jerry.
We get Christ's life.
Right.
We've seen the historical
That's right. We've seen. And then he clarifies it a little bit. He says, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. That shows us right there who he's talking about, doesn't it? We know Christ brings eternal life. We know who was with the Father. And then he says, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That was Jesus Christ come in the flesh. Amen. That was him leaving heaven, being manifested in the flesh for us. So that's a blessing. It's good to see that. So we'll continue on and memorize verse number 3 next week. And we'll start putting it together. I know the verses individually, they kind of, you take them, look. But as you start memorizing those verses and as we memorize through the chapter, it'll put the whole thought together. So let's memorize verse number 3 for next week. And I challenge you to get involved in it. It'll be a good blessing to you and you will enjoy it. Amen. All right. Back in Genesis. Now, so Joseph was born of Rachel, and now it's interesting that Rachel was barren, and there's 7 women in the Bible that were barren who bore sons that God singled out, and I'm sure there was a lot more than that, but God singled out 7 women in the Bible who were barren, and except for one of them, every one of them bore a son who became a very prominent man in the Word of God. So the first one would be Sarah, right? Sarah was barren. She was caught much grief over it, and she was troubled by it. She even tried so much as to force God's promise by having Abraham have a baby through her handmaid and Hagar. And we know that's where Ishmael came from. But then, in God's time, in God's way, and when Sarah was 90 years old, he opened her womb and she bore Isaac, the son of promise, the Bible calls him. The next one was actually Isaac's wife, Rebekah. Rebekah, she was barren and could not have children for a while. But God opened her womb, and Rebekah bore 2 sons. What were their names?
Say it a little louder.
Jacob and Esau.
Right? And then Jacob had a wife who was barren, who we just talked about, whose name was Rachel. And she bore a son whose name was Joseph. We know that Jacob was the father of Israel. We know that Joseph was used to preserve the children of Israel to keep God's chosen people alive. Isn't that amazing? And all these 3 were from barren women who were greatly grieved over it, but yet God touched them. The next one we see in the Word of God is Manoah. Anyone want to take a stab at who Manoah was the mother of? Brother Vernie should know. Samson, that's right. Samson, that was Samson's mother. And we know that Samson also in his way, he was a great man. The end of his life turned out much better than the beginning of his life. But God used him to bring down and to destroy at the time the Philistines. Samson was also a great character in the Bible. We know that Hannah was a woman who was barren. Who was Hannah's son? Samuel. That's right. Great prophet. Great man who strove and taught and led the children of Israel all the way through the time when when God was their king, even through the point where they were wanting a king of their own, and Samuel led them through that. And you know the story and all that Samuel also, he was a great prophet. He was the first circuit riding preacher. And he went round from town to town and was the prophet at the time. That was Samuel. Michael, David's wife, he received because he defeated Goliath and Saul gave him Michael to wife. Michael's the only one that never actually bore a child. She was barren, she was shut up, but she actually never, I know that she never bore a child because she was locked up, but I believe the Bible tells us, I think I studied, I didn't write it down, but she also was barren as well. And then the last one in the Word of God, it's in the New Testament, that was barren was a woman named Elizabeth. And who did Elizabeth bear? John. As we know, as we call John the Baptist. Amen. So all the way from the Son of Promise to a voice crying in the wilderness, God had a plan for those women's lives, and every one of them had a part in the history and in the preservation and in the great work of God through the children of Israel. Isn't that amazing? So you never know when you're going through hard times, when you're going through some things that are just seems like they're too much for you to bear. You never know exactly what God's doing, what God's working on the back in the back end. So I just thought I'd kind of mention that as kind of a precursor to us studying the life of Joseph. So now let's jump right into the life of Joseph, and let's look in Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis 37 says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Let's stop right there as in our reading right now, and let's talk a little bit about some things we see here. So we see here, first of all, Jacob as a sojourner. We see Jacob is... he's traveling around. He's the children of Israel have not yet come into. This is before the children of Israel ever before they come into the promised land. And so they're sojourning. They're in the land of Canaan. They're not at home. It's not their home. That's not where they are settled at this point yet. And we see that as Christians, we're the same way. See our home. Our home is heaven, right? And we'll never be at home here. We'll never be at home until we get to heaven, which is our final place, which is what we're looking for. We'll be here, we'll dwell here, but we'll never be at home here. And that's the way Jacob was. Jacob was just sojourner. He was traveling around. And so we see Jacob as a sojourner in verse number 1. Isaac's still alive at this point, and he's still living, and he's a stranger. He said his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. So not only do we see Jacob as a sojourner, but now we see Joseph himself as a shepherd. All right, so he's feeding, the Bible says he's feeding the flock with his brethren. So we see here the first type of Joseph as a type of Christ. Okay, let's take a look at, we see here Joseph is a shepherd. Let's look at the book of John. In chapter number 10. Now we're going to, as we look at these types, we're going to look at a lot of scripture references. And why we do that? Because it's good for us to tie together the Word of God, not just in word, but to do it with the Word of God. Amen. We always say that the King James Bible is the great, you know, this is the greatest book on the planet. Amen. It's the greatest. You cannot pick up a better book. It's full. It's got everything in it, and it's amazing as we watch how God preserved the scriptures, and as He gives us all through the scriptures things to solidify and to show us and to prove to us that word of God is always true. So we see here Jesus. Look at John chapter number 10 and verse number 11. This is Jesus speaking. In John 10:11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine." Jesus Christ himself calls himself a shepherd. Look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. So you might want to keep your little ribbon there in Genesis 37, because that's what we'll be coming back to. But Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 31. Jesus says here, talking to his disciples there just before his trial and crucifixion, he says, Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So Jesus himself, here again, is referring himself as a shepherd. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, we'll have to flip over there, but if you went to Zechariah 13, 7, you would see this, where the prophet Zechariah prophesied this, that that they would smite the shepherd and the sheep would be scattered. So we see here Joseph now as our first type of Joseph. Joseph as a type of Christ in the fact that they were both pictured as shepherds. Joseph was an actual shepherd. He tended the flocks. Jesus Christ referred to himself as the good shepherd. So that's a blessing to us as we look through that. We see here now Joseph, the Bible says he brings to his father, back in Genesis 37, says that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So what we see here is that when the 11 sons of Jacob, as they're away from daddy, right, as they're out not under daddy's watchful eye and not under, they're out when they're away from home and away from their father, they're doing those things that they know they shouldn't ought to be doing, right? Isn't that the tendency of all children? Amen. We're not under that watchful eye. So Joseph brings to their father the evil report. Now, Joseph is not coming as a talebearer, okay? He's not coming as a tattletale. Joseph is coming he's not coming to sow discord, but as a faithful brother who's bringing those, their faults to a higher authority, to someone who he knows it's not right. He knows that they're not doing what they should do. And so he's bringing that to his father and letting him know what's going on with them. So we know that when we look at that as a Christian life, see, those that hate to be reformed, so to speak, hate those that would reform them, right? Just look in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 9, real quick. Hold your spot right here and just flip over with the other hand and look in Proverbs chapter number 9. Just keep your finger right there. Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 8. Someone read that for us if you would. Proverbs 9, 8. Amen. Those that would be reformed hate those that would reform them. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. We all know that that's true. We've all seen that in our own lives. And if we're honest and truthful, we've felt the same way before. Amen. If we're really honest about it, we've felt the same way with other people before. And also not only that, but it's common for those that are beloved of God to be hated by the world. Amen. Joseph was beloved of his father. His brethren hated him. Those that are beloved of God, it's common for them to be hated by this world. Whom heaven blesses, hell curses. Right? Isn't that true? Those that God puts his blessing upon, this world and hell hates them. Amen. So this is not an uncommon thing. So we see that as in Joseph's life. And then we see this in that time. It's a type of our Christian life. And as we try to bring folks and try to bring people to an understanding of their sin and understanding of how it's harmful, how it hurts them, they'll hate us for it, won't they? Joseph was, I know what it was. We see another type of Christ here. When Joseph was bringing that evil report to his father, he was exposing evil, and Jesus did the same thing, right? Amen. We see that as a type. Jesus Christ, we don't have to go look at scriptures on that. But Jesus, when he taught in the synagogues, he reproved them for their evil, didn't he? But at the same time, he was. So now we see here in verse number 3 and 4 how Joseph is the beloved of his father. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. We see here that Joseph is the type of Christ and the fact that he was loved by his father. And it was made known. Let's look in the, let's go back now, mark here, and let's take a look at Jesus Christ, who was also, the Bible says, who was loved by his father, and God made it known unto the world that he loved his son, didn't he? Let's go over to the New Testament now. That's where we'll always be looking at these types, and look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. In verse number 17. Now, all of these verses that we look at, every one of these are not going to be anything new, but they will definitely be verses that will remind us. We'll see these again and say, oh, yeah, you know, and it's just good to just be reminded. Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." God spoke it audibly so that everyone could hear it. Amen? And this is kind of an interesting passage because right after this, he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. And you know that story in Matthew chapter number 4. But God's put his approval upon him before he ever went in. So not only did the people hear it, guess what? The devil heard it too. Amen? The devil knew that God was well pleased with his son and showed him by allowing him to be tempted in the wilderness. Let's go to the book of, we're staying in Matthew chapter number 17, verse number 5. So you might get you a, you may or may not, but you might want to, if you want to look at these types and write them down, you might get you a notepad and a pen, and as we go through these, write these types down and go back and study them and do some Bible study on your own, and you'll kind of really, it'll really be a blessing to you to see these scriptures as well. So remember, we're looking at Joseph as a type of Christ by being loved by his father. Matthew 17, verse number 5, it says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And then he added to it a little bit, "Hear ye him." God made it plain, didn't he? Amen. He loved his son. He was pleased with him. Let everyone know, to the point that the Bible says in verse 6 that the disciples, when they heard it, fell on their face and were sore afraid. We probably would be too. Amen. I mean, if we heard the voice of God out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." God was showing his love for his son. Go to the book of John, chapter number 10. And that's not only good for the disciples, that's good for us too. Amen? God hadn't changed his mind even 2,000 years later. Jesus Christ is still his beloved son, and we still need to listen to what he says. Amen? Still good for us today. John chapter number 10, verse number 17. Jesus is speaking here. And he's talking about, we had looked at this a minute ago about the shepherd. And he says here, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Jesus is showing the love that his Father has for him, because he's laying down his life and fulfilling that God did in his foreknowledge way before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is showing that his Father loves him because he's doing the will of his will. And then in Philippians chapter number 2, and this is just a few of the verses. There's a lot more than this, but I just picked out a few. And then over in the book of Philippians chapter number 2, in verse number 9, God shows us how much he loves his son. Look what it says. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name." Joseph is a type of Christ in this fact that he was beloved of his father. His father showed that love in a way that was obvious to his brethren, in a way that his brothers, they did not like it. Amen. They hated him for it, the Bible says, because he was beloved of his father. He was the son of Rachel, who was his beloved wife. He was a son in his old age. He made Joseph this coat of many colors. He dressed him in a coat, and it was that was finer, that was better, that was visibly better than what his brethren were have. And I think also that not only was it that, but I think also it was significant. Joseph was showing the significance of some future honor, probably, that was going to be bestowed upon Joseph. He made a clear distinction, right or wrong, good or bad. We could have a whole other class now whether what Joseph was doing or Jacob was doing was right or wrong. But he made a clear distinction between Joseph and his brethren, and his brothers hated him for it. Amen? So he was loved by his father, and then he's also a type. I've mentioned that about his brothers hating him. He's also a type of Christ in the fact that he was hated by his brothers. So where do we see that? Well, let's look in as a type of Christ. Let's look in the book of John, chapter number 1. So we see him here as a type of Christ. Joseph as a type of Christ because he was hated by his brethren. John, chapter number 1. Verse number 11, speaking of Jesus here, who we know, John chapter 1 is definitely talking about Jesus and showing how he was God in the flesh. Verse number 11 of John chapter 1, he says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let's look at one more verse here on this thought. Luke chapter number 19. Back up just a couple of pages there, a few pages back. Luke 19:14. Jesus is telling a story here about a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive a kingdom. And in verse 14, he says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. He's a type. Joseph here is a type of hated by his brethren. His brethren, as Jesus walked, as Jesus taught, we know clearly it's shown that they rejected him, that they would not listen to him. They did not want to receive. He was hated by his fellow countrymen. And so we see here in these first four verses how Joseph is a type of Christ. We see him as he's the beloved of his father, his brethren, his brothers who hate him. And now Joseph in verse number five. Switches a little bit, and Joseph dreams a dream. And he comes and he tells it to his brethren. The Bible says in verse 5, let's read verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Joseph's dream. Now Joseph was a young man, 17 years old, but we tend to see here as we're reading through this that Joseph was a devout man. He was young, but he was pious. He loved, you could tell, you know, he knew of the things of the Lord, and he was a devout man. And God took that time in his life when he was and he revealed himself to Joseph. And he gives him this dream because Joseph has got a lot of trouble ahead of him. Amen? A lot of trouble ahead of him, and God showed him in this dream his advancement, that he was, how he was going to be advanced, but he did it to help support him through these long and grievous troubles that he was going to go through before that ever happened. Joseph was going to, he was going to go through a lot of troubles before he ever got to where he was supposed to get to, and God was showing him. Because Joseph had a heart here. We can see this. Joseph was tuned in. He knew what was, he knew the difference between right and wrong. He was a young man, but he wasn't just running with the crowd and running with the world. He was a devout man, and God was using that tenderness of his heart to show him that, yes, there's going to be an advancement for you. But he was getting his heart prepared for those troubles that were going to come. Now, we see here another type. Let me see. Let's go back and look at a couple more types here. And then I'll just stop. I didn't know how far we would get. I figured it probably wouldn't be very far. But it's all right. All right. Let's look at Joseph here as a type of Christ. Now, so Joseph was promised in this dream a remarkable future. All right. So let's look at, so Jesus Christ. Remember what it says about Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews. It says, he who for the joy that was set before him, right? So Jesus knew the end result of where he was going to be, right? He had that joy set before him that he would be back at the right hand of the Father. He would be back on his throne. He would be back. He'd be in heaven, and he'd made the way for us to be them. So he is looking past that cross to see his remarkable future that he would have. So we see here as him as a type, Joseph as a type of him, in this fact that God showed him what his future was going to be. Now look in the book of Isaiah. I'll do this one here, and then we'll stop here and pick back up next week. Look in the book of Isaiah. Chapter number 9. Isaiah 9, verses number 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." There's a prophecy, there's a picture, there's a showing that where Jesus Christ, where he would be in the end, in the future, where he will end up. Joseph is seeing his dream, his future advancement. Jesus Christ knew that when he went to the cross, when he humbled himself, when he took that on, we studied that for the last 2 weeks, when he took all that upon himself, he knew the end result would be that he would be back in heaven at the right hand of his God, that he will sit on the throne one day in Jerusalem. He will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Amen? So we see that. So Jesus looked past that cross. Let's look in the book of Luke. Chapter number 1. Verse number 33. Verse 32 first, excuse me. 31. Wait, it's 31. Okay, verse 31. "And behold," this is the angel speaking to Mary. Angel Gabriel speaking to Mary. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." That has not yet happened. Amen? Right? That hasn't happened yet. It's still future, but it's going to. Amen? He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ and the fact that God showed unto him what his future would be. And Jesus Christ, we know he knew that as well when he went to the cross. And then we just looked at Hebrews 12:2 when I quoted it, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, ever to make intercession for us. So we see here a few types. We'll look at a lot more as we go through. Like I said, we're not just, and we'll dig back into this, we'll look at this dream a little bit deeper, this first dream, a little bit more. There's more I want to look at this dream, so I don't want to just kind of get into it and skim through it, because there's a lot in this first dream. It has two dreams, but there's a lot in this first one that we'll look at, and it'll be a blessing to you to see how the pictures are that are in that dream, what God's showing, and how that what God showed Joseph in his dream, we'll see next Sunday that it came to pass exactly, exactly like God said it would in that dream. But his brothers hated him for it. So we'll just take a look at that again next week. That'll give you a little something to look forward to, hopefully, as we get back in next week. So that's our opening up and kind of learning about the life of Joseph as a type of Christ, and his life as a type and a picture of the Christian life. Amen? All right, well, that's good. I'm put you to sleep now, so I kind of wake you up, let you get up and stir around a little bit, and get your blood flowing a little bit. Brother Bob, why don't you dismiss us in prayer, brother?